The conversation you are about to hear took place exactly 2 days before the following episode of OED Ranked was recorded on the staircase, and exactly 3 evenings after the door had unsanctimoniously appeared on the northeast wall of the apartment. It was recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Hey, wait, what are you doing?
Nothing. Okay. Truthfully, I was gonna go inside there and, you know...
You mean in there through the unreal door leading into the impossibly dark hallway of indeterminate lengths?
Yes. I know we said we should just ignore it, but then I thought it might be cool to record the new episode in there.
Oh, it's... okay, yeah, be safe, have fun.
You know, truthfully, I'm kind of a little scared.
No, do it. It would be good for the episode. Very special.
Okay.
Go on now. I'll close the door behind you. Have fun, be safe.
Oh, boy.
Welcome very back to OED Ranked, the podcast where we are ranking words found in the Oxford English Dictionary 2nd edition, CD-ROM edition. Of course, I'm your existential proxy in crime, Medley from Online, and folks, we did something crazy for this episode. We did something a little nuts, maybe. I am thrilled to report that for this one, we are recording live from partway down this sort of ever-expanding, sometimes contracting, nevertheless sickeningly real spiral staircase in this impossibly large room at the end of a long, lightless hallway which appeared behind a door that had never before previously existed inside this apartment. There on the northeast wall, that is. God, this had to be sometime between 3 and 5 days ago now. Jeez, is that echo picking up on the mic? Hello? Emilio? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Let me go into one of the little procedurally generated rooms over here. So the echo isn't as bad. Is this better? I hope so. But let me just assure you, it is cold in here. Yeah, okay. So anyway, well, today we really have our biggest show yet. Really, a historic day in the annals of OED Ranked history. Right here in front of me, I have the certifiable results of our very first tournament. And then after that, we're going to get into our first ever non-draft entry. Some like bells there or something. An entry, which I will tell you, is quite literally as long as a short novella. Don't dwell on it. Oh, well, I really do hope you got a chance to vote at realdiscord.org/polls. And I've been informed that up the top here, I also need to mention about Real Discord's new, quote, web portal, available at realdiscord.org/1996-1996. I guess it's a web portal for you to easily access all of Real Discord's many discordant doings and having been done things. Okay, and send us an email at oedranked@gmail.com if you'd like to get involved. That's all the legally mandated stuff. So now we will begin with the moment you've been waiting for. Our very first word tournament results. No time for ballyhoo. Let's get directly to the hoobie stank. In the S tier, with 84.62% of the vote, we have 101, an adjective, originally and chiefly US, knocking 4H and 4H'er out of consideration. Which makes total sense to me. It's elementary. This is OED ranked 101 stuff here. You know, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Moving to the A tier, with 76.92% of the vote, we have 1984 noun. Congratulations to the ghost of George Orwell. I know he's a listener. And as I suspected, 401k was the big loser. A perfect design. Welcome to the A tier. 1984. And with 69.23% in our B tier, 4WD, noun for motoring. Thank you so much for this one. As you'll recall, it's matchup 4x4, 4x4, really sent me on an existential tailspin. Helped none so much whatsoever by Tom Clancy's dumbass, but please, still, write in and tell me, is a 4x4 a piece of wood? We'd like to know. The OED does not clarify. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? And then, in a three-way tie for C tier, a tie that I have historically decided not to break. We're not breaking it. That's right. I made a call. We will be putting all three of these words into the C tier. None of these are necessarily F tier words to me. Each of them got 61.54% of the vote in their fights. And the three C-tier words are 900 number. It's a noun from North America. Historically a sex chat, but the OED does not clarify that. Still kind of miffed on that one. 24/7. It's an adverb, colloquial. And 911. It's a noun, North America. It's an emergency. Congratulations to those losers. And that's it. Am I upset 0898 number did not beat out 900 number? Maybe. To be totally honest, I actually kind of dislike all of these words compared to their losing counterparts. 360 degree, you are gone but not forgotten to me. Wait, do I get veto power? No? Good. That's not why we do these tournaments. These are for you, sweet dear listener, to use your little voice for the powers of good. Ultimately, I kind of like the way this turned out, you know, it seemed pretty cut and dry. When we get to the end of the A words, we will have another tournament. I don't know that it's going to be like a matchup kind of fight like this one was, because I have no real understanding of the nigh infinite possible number of draft entries that await us here. So let us just relish this moment, this brief victory against indecision, and seriously, thank you. Thank you. Let us tarry no further. The first tournament is a success. It's over and done. We have a huge show. Let's get into the meat. Let's take a bite out of crime. Let's take it down a notch and take a step back. I think I'd like to begin this installment with a piece that I found recently, which I think is pretty relevant to today's proceedings and maybe otherwise long since forgotten to time, a recording of a comedy sketch that I found in the old archive from way back in 1956. This bit got the duo into some hot water back then, and I'm sure you'll be able to figure out why. However, in today's day and night, I'm sure we'd all agree it's pretty quaint. Anyway, coming straight from comedy duo The Three Tanners' fifth comedy album, The Big Book of Book Jokes Abridged, this is track 14, NRA PSA 3, Roman numerals. Let's take a listen.
The year is 1850, Salem, Massachusetts, April 8th, at approximately 11:43 in the evening. The room is dimly lit by flickering candlelight as a storm rages outside. Hawthorne, disheveled but dramatically inspired, stands before a cluttered desk piled high with crumpled drafts. His editor, Reginald Snidelyworth, bursts in unannounced, soaking wet and clutching a stack of rejected manuscripts.
Nathaniel, we must talk. I've just read the draft for your novel, and forgive me, I'm struggling to put this delicately.
Delicate words are for poets, Reginald. Speak plainly.
It's the letter, the red one, the F.
Ah, yes. Isn't it magnificent? Bold, unflinching, a single letter that stabs the heart and sears the soul.
It sears more than the soul. It sears propriety, civility, and perhaps decency itself. People will faint in the streets.
But don't you see? That's the point. The F word is untouchable, forbidden, fiery. It encapsulates everything the Puritans fear most. It's perfect.
It's literary arson. you truly mean to write a book where Hester Prynne is branded with a scarlet F, people won't read it. They'll riot.
Riot? Reginald, that's preposterous. And then, so what letter would you prefer, Perhaps an L for lamentation? Or an M for mature thematic element? No, no, no! She fucks! That's like the whole thing of the book!
Nathaniel, mark my words, no one will publish this. And when the masses learn you've written a novel about the F-word, they will find you and beat the shit out of you. Is that what you want?
Maybe.
I won't let it happen. And try a better word for red, will you? Like crimson?
Pah!
I'll be taking my leave now. If you hear anything like breathing outside your door, it is simply the wind.
Go then! If the world can't handle the F, then they don't deserve it, Reginald! Ah, the old fool. But then, I truly would hate to get the shit beat out of me. Perhaps a compromise. Let us see. A letter. A letter the people can stomach. Just a letter. A single letter. Perhaps I should consult the dictionary. Beginning on page 1, with the first entry. Ooh, what a heavy book indeed.
And as we all know, Nathaniel Hawthorne was brutally murdered by Mr. Snidelyworth with that very same dictionary. The rest, as they say, is history. Thank you, and good night. This message was brought to you by the NRA.
Just something I wanted to share, okay? Let's get into it. Folks, today we're talking about the capital letter A, the alpha of the alphabet, the aristocrat of articulation, the apex itself. Whether it's being a nerd-ass smarty pants in class with an A+, or even its spot as the first vowel you say anytime you list the vowels to prove your dominance over a child, the capital A demands attention. It commands respect. We're going to bask in the glory of A. We're going to find out, can the other letters compete? Is there a secret dark side to this towering Adonis? It's just one of those things, isn't it? Folks, the entry for the capital letter A is comprised of over 11,000 total words. There are at least 4 sections, several additions, and a hell of a lot of draft entry addendums, which are also a lot of acronyms, like the ATF, which it still is hilarious to me that the tobacco and firearms are lumped together. It really makes you think. So we have no time to spare. To clarify one of our draft entry rules, I just briefly alluded to this. If a draft entry is at the bottom of a word, that is not considered a draft entry. That is not entering a tournament or a ranking. However, we're going to do those moving forward. It's just considered part of the word, right? If a draft entry is at the top of a word, very top, and like the whole entry itself is considered a draft, then it is up, you know, for contention. But this is all sort of posturing to avoid like the really, really big elephant in the room. Did I say elephant? The elephant in the room. It's something I've been avoiding. We're going to make a call. And this is a big call. Bigger even than the other call about the draft entries at the bottom of words being considered, you know, part of the word. The capital A brings a lot of the stark realities of this project to light. And I really hope you understand I wasn't fooling around about how serious this whole thing actually is. But listen to me. Maybe a third of the entry for capital A is lists of various acronyms that start with the letter A. Now, there is also a lot of interesting history tied into those acronyms. So we're faced with a kind of difficult set of variables. You know, as it stands, we will be mentioning the acronyms listed under capital A and the other various capital letters that are going to come up. And whatever esoterica we find that's worth mentioning will be mentioned. But the acronyms mentioned
will not be ranked on their own. Which, of course, brings us to acronyms. Open parenthetical, holistic, close parenthetical. The holistic idea of acronyms as a whole will serve as the ranking of all acronyms found in the OED second edition. Okay? Acronyms as a concept, as a mode of language, they're very clearly going to be ranked under the A tier. Acronyms are pretty cool. They're useful. You can have fun with them like Big Daddy Kane did with RAW, meaning ready and willing, but also you can pronounce it raw, but it's an acronym. They're not the best thing in the world because at a glance, you can't know what those letters stand for. They play coy with information in that way, you know? They're ubiquitous, but somehow still not too overplayed. You know, I mentioned this previously, but when you click on a word in this version of the OED, it'll take you to its full definition. When you click on any of the acronyms within a definition, it takes you nowhere. More often than not, it will take you to nothing. So this has been a huge distinction point for me that has helped me decide, you know, what we'll be ranking and what we will not be ranking. I just do think we should rank acronyms as a holistic concept, as a point of acknowledgement, and I'm comfortable saying they belong squarely in the A tier. Which, speaking of A tier, today's entry brings A tier to my eye. The capital letter A, not the letter I. This and all other entries like it will be denoted in the rankings as capital A or capital B or capital C or so on or so forth. I could have went all the way. I could have just kept doing that. And the reason, but I didn't. And the reason for this distinction will become immediately clear. With that said, let's lock in. Let's boot up Windows XP and take a listen to the first of many bits of definition for the capital A.
Before we begin, I've also prepared something.
Sure. Sure, Emma, go ahead.
An astonishing army of astoundingly articulate aardvarks adorned in amaranthan and alabaster apparel ambled aimlessly across an archaic amphitheater amidst apocalyptic atmospheric anomalies, attracting ardent anthropologists, aggressive artificionados, assertive astronomers, and aspiring acrobats. All absolutely awestruck by the aardvark's astonishingly agile antics and apparent aptitude for avant-garde arithmetic amidst ancient artifacts. Amplifying an ambient aura of absolute amazement and admiration.
Oh, wow. That was very impressive.
Thank you.
That was a lot of A's.
It was the most A's.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we get the first part of the...
It took me a few hours.
The definition now? The first part of the capital A definition?
I'm sorry, of course, I'm sorry.
I don't mean that, I'm just... That was... that was cool.
Of course.
Emma, thank you. But please, we don't have time, honestly.
You can edit it out, it's okay.
No, I'm leaving it.
No, it's fine. I'm being weird. I'm sorry. The capital A, let's get into it. The first letter of the Roman alphabet and of its various subsequent modifications, as were its prototypes Alpha of the Greek and Aleph of the Phoenician and Old Hebrew. Representing originally in English, as in Latin, the low back wide vowel formed with the widest opening of jaws, pharynx, and lips. The plural has been written eyes, A's, as, from A to Z.
So we're cool, right?
Of course, yes, essentially, yes.
Okay.
We should really just move onward like nothing happened.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me get out of my comfort zone. Simple as...
Okay, moving on. The first letter of the Roman alphabet, that is what it is. 1765, Tucker, light of Nat, which may mean north, two Roman numerals. Tully tells us, a hog has been known to make a perfect letter A with his snout upon the ground. But nobody ever saw or thought it possible to see. the whole poem of Ennius scratched out in that manner. And I believe he might have added safely that no man ever saw a single A written by a hog without a multitude of other irregular scratches round about it. Incredible.
Hey, Medley.
Yeah.
Can you actually please take over for a moment? Unrelated to before, I just have to start working on section 3 Roman numerals, part 10 regular numerals.
Oh.
Come find me when you get there.
So, okay, so the rest of this first section is the different sounds that A can make. So in name, in bear, but not the animal, it like bear arms, man, father, water, want, chant past, varies. No, the vowel in chant and past varies with different speakers. Varies isn't one of the, but varies is one of the, in village, let's hit the meaningful ones. In village, marriage, in separate, in lunar, and amoeba. And that takes us right on to section 2 of capital A. The letters of the alphabet, or some of them, are used to indicate serial order and distinguish things in a series, like the notes of a musical scale, the choirs or sheets of a book, classes of ships, propositions in logic, quantities in algebra, points, and hence lines and figures in geometry. As the order is in some cases fixed, A or A has some specialized uses. This is section 2-1 in music. The sixth note of the diatonic scale is C major. Also, the scale of a composition with A as its keynote. Yeah, why are they starting with C? Anyways, in 1806, J.W. Calcott, he said the notes of music are named from the first seven letters of the alphabet. A, etc., 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 etc. When the melody or tune exceeds these seven, the same series of letters must be repeated. That is a direct order. This is section 2, part 2, in nautical language, CA1 below. Okay. Section 2... this section is in Roman numerals, and then the subsection is a regular numeral, just so you're visualizing it properly. This one is the third subsection of two. In logic, it's a universal affirmative. In 1866, Mansell claimed A is declared by Aristotle to be the most difficult proposition to establish and the easiest to overthrow. 1866. We really thought everything. Okay, so section 2, subsection 4. In abstract reasoning or hypothetical argumentation, law, etc., A means any one thing or person, B would be another, C a third, etc. But we are really only concerned with A here. In 1870, Bowen logic, 3 Roman numerals, every conceivable thing is either A or not A. Of course, A and not A taken together include the universe. I feel like I've read that somewhere before. In section 2, subsection 5, it's in algebra, A, B, C, other letters. 2, subsection 6, designating a first-class road. 2, subsection 7, used of a type of blood. In 1927, in the Journal of American Medicine, and then a real big Roman, once the L's get involved, I'll be honest, I don't really know. I'll start studying Latin on the side of this. Dr. Carl Landsteiner has suggested the substitution of the well-known letters O, A, B, and A, B for the Jansky numbers. 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are all Roman numerals, and the Moss numbers, 4, 2, 3, and 1, which are also Roman numerals. The letters will express the actual constitution of the blood corpuscles with respect to isoagglutination as far as it concerns the separation of the groups. I don't know why I marked that one. I thought that was interesting. How are we doing on time? Okay, so section 2, subsection 8, sociology, designating the highest or lowest of a series of social classes, now specifically the higher managerial, administrative, or professional class, a member of this. The membership of the two highest social classes, A and B. And then I earmarked a couple things here. In 1910, F.G. Daith, which is an anagram of death, the present class structure is based upon different standards of life. These varying standards tend to fall into seven groups. A, the loafer. B, low-skilled labor. C, artisan with a Z. Hold on. They were doing tier lists back in 1910, and they were using it to put us in boxes? They were tier systeming us? They've been tier systeming us for hundreds of years? Am I yelling? In 1968, I also earmarked this one, M. Abrams. In the middle 1950s, the National Readership Survey came under the direction of the Institute of Practitioners. The stratification of respondents into six grades, A, B, C1, C2, D, and E. Which, what? Why would you do two C's? In 1986, the social niceties are very AB. When I say dick, Liz pounces. They're so horny! Okay. And then the last two subsections, 2.9, designating a range of international standard paper sizes. The European main or A series of paper sizes, the basic sheet with an area of 1 square meter is designated A0, the next smaller sheet by A1, half of this A2, etc. And then 2.10, the A side of a record. 1970, noted prick John Lennon said maybe if he was feeling guilty that he had most of the A sides or something, he'd give me a solo. Okay, three. We got to three. We're at three. This is all abbreviations. This is things A can stand for. We have anno, ante, adjective, artium, alto, accepted, associate, royal artillery, and then able-bodied seaman, AB. All right, so that brings us to 10, thank God. Emma, do you
So when I read out all the abbreviations, it was 7 straight minutes. I have an idea for how we can get all of them in about 1 minute, if you just bear with me.
You're gonna say them all at the same time, aren't you?
Yes, I suggest we just full send it.
Send it. Do it. Go.
10A or R in med. Anna QV. ALU are adult computing. Designated film suitable for ACDM and telecastic See also as main entries. APTA, ACAS, ADUS, AIDS, AOK, APEX, N2, N3, APRA, ASCII, ASLEF, AWACS.
Wait. The ones at the end have their own entries?
Yes.
Son of... You couldn't have hidden that in the hauntingly beautiful soundscape thing you did?
I just thought it was sort of funnier not to. Okay,
fair. But that sort of undoes the thing earlier about how none of them have their own entries, really. That was untouchable. That was now that some of them do.
A grave oversight on your end, really.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. Do you know what that means? It means we put AIDS in the A tier.
I just read the definitions.
No, we can't put AIDS in the A tier. I thought this was just a foolproof way to avoid excess entries and keep the show clipping along, focusing on the real words. Crap. What are we going to do? Emma? Shit. Look. Look, I've thought a lot about this show the last few weeks, more than I planned, really. You know, I would love to do the AIDS episode of the show where we talk to someone with AIDS, and I actually went to r/HIV/AIDS, and that's basically what it is, only it's like worse people than I am. And like, but I can't help but feel like if I do it for a podcast where I'm ranking the dictionary, that makes me a big dumb idiot bitch who sucks. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I guess that's sort of like the whole thing of my whole life. But with all that said, I can't rank AIDS under A. So I guess we're going to be forced to rank those last abbreviations, the ones specially mentioned that actually have their own entries. Maybe by the time we get there, you know, we could do it right. Maybe that's the key dramatic thrust of the show. You know, maybe this is the type of quagmire that keeps people tuning in.
There is one thing you could do.
What's that now?
Well, you could keep acronyms holistic in A tier and put abbreviations holistic in F tier.
But what about the dramatic
medley
thrust?
I can sense you will likely lose a lot of sleep over this.
Correct.
If there isn't some form of resolution here, which doesn't force you to deal with the more seriously foreboding elements of the conceit of this show.
So if we rank...
If you rank...
If I rank abbreviations holistically in the F tier, we can canonically and justifiably circumvent ranking those special ones you listed at the end. And in so doing, we avoid ranking AIDS in the A tier entirely.
It still is also an acronym.
Avoided entirely. Holy mother of Chris, there is still so much A left. Okay, abbreviations, holistic... In the F tier, why? Fundamentally, they aren't even words. They're like word teasers. They're like word previews. We rank words on this show, goddammit, not time savers. If there is one thing this thing is not about, it's saving time. Sorry, abbreviations, you're our first F rank. Congratulations, you earned it. Moving on to the rest of A. God, there's... Okay, let's... You get it, right? It's the capital letter A. It abbreviates a lot of things, and you use it a lot. I am so cold, I have to leave this place. I'm gonna step out of the room here. I'm gonna get out. Capital A. You're in the B tier. You're all right. You're middle of the road. You're overplayed. You're everywhere. You're fine. You're useful. You're good. You're definitely not a C. But, capital A, you're in the B tier, baby. I'm gonna start climbing this staircase.
Oh, the door's right here.
Yes, who is it?
It's Medley. I made it back.
Mom, is it really you, or are you like a monster you now?
Well, I guess in many ways we're all monsters, aren't we? Each of us is a sort of minotaur, cursed to walk in solitude and fear down labyrinthine halls, the wretched psychic mazes of our mind's manifestation. Passages expanding for too brief a time, then collapsing again as memories grow shriveled in winter's encroaching air. But still walking, always walking, these two complex halls, these insipid mazes, for what amounts to each their own bespoke eternity. Learning much, but being able to practice very little, imprisoned as it is by even just the sheer idea of the weight of the blank and familiar and punishing walls surrounding and twisting into an infinite spiral of and into self, and also somehow without. All of us really just a totally singular yet architecturally similar house with endless branches of rooms and hallways of inky darkness, emptiness waiting to be filled with stark light or color even. Shadows and hues of blue, yet ever and always to be inevitably blown away like the leaves by the eternal winds to become nothing but ash. Though the roots always do remain, of that much I'm certain. So So what are monsters then but shadows? I don't think I'm a shadow. Am I?
Yeah, okay, come on in.
Thank you. Ooh, it's cold in there. Don't forget!
Words, you say your silly words. You say your little words. What do they really mean? Your silly little...